Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jesse is a friend. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, I know, he's been a good friend of mine. Lately something's changed, it ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl, yeah. And I wanna make her mine.
Hang on.
And he's watching her with those eyes. And he's loving her with that body, I just know it.
I just know it.
And he's holding her in his arms late at night. You know, I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl.
I don't really know the chords here.
I'm just singing the chords.
Why can't I find a woman like that?
Get on Tinder.
I'll play along with the charade.
Right. This was the 70s.
80s.
It doesn't seem right. To be a reason to change.
Here we go.
This line's good. You know, I feel so dirty when they start talking cute. I want to tell her that I love her, but the point is probably moot.
Yeah.
There aren't many songs.
Have moot.
Moot.
Moot in them.
Want to tell her that I love her, but the point is probably moot.
Yeah.
And she's watching him with those eyes.
Yeah, you better believe it.
And she's loving him with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late at night. You know, I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl.
Yeah.
What's her name?
It's not important to him, is it?
Yeah.
He's like...
That's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's odd that he's in love with a girl and he never says her name in
the
song.
She's defined by the man.
Why can I find a woman like that?
Yeah.
Like, what's her name?
Well, maybe if you humanize... Maybe if you humanize her...
Yeah.
Buddy... Is her writing this song, which kind of makes her chattel of Jesse? Yeah? Maybe you'd have a bit more luck with Jesse's girl, the eponymous. Jesus, this guy needs to grow up.
How does it start? Jesse is a friend. He's always been a good friend of mine. Lately, something's changed. It ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl, and I want to make her mine. It's quite cocky.
From the hip.
Isn't it?
Yeah, he wants it.
I miss 80s songs.
What do you miss about them?
I like, you know,
they're they're brazen.
I just like that you hear the song within 10 seconds, you know what the song's about.
Yeah, I want this.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where everyone has wanted to boff their mate's girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the universal themes in music that are always, you know, when you go, oh yeah, I've been there. Like, oh, I fancied my friend's girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you know, Adele, like leaving an answer machine message. Hello?
Yeah.
It's me.
Right.
We've all done that.
Yeah.
Although at no point in the song does she leave like the seventh message. Do you know what I mean? Hello, it's me. I was in the shower and I thought I heard the phone ring. I thought you might be calling me back.
Yeah.
Was that you?
Bit more angry.
Hello, it's me. Listen, if you're just out with my best friend, tell me.
Yeah.
Just tell me. I'm okay with it. I'm over you. Hello, it's me. I've packed up all your stuff and I'm going to burn it unless you call me back.
Right.
Adele's a little bit unhonest in that song.
Yeah.
But my point...
What's your point?
...is the universal themes. The feelings that we've all had.
Yeah, you can't do a song...
Where we go, oh yeah, totally, I've been there.
Yeah, you can't do a song that's commercially successful if it isn't general.
No, I don't mean general.
You can't do a song about dogging, for example.
No.
You couldn't do a song about dogging. You can...
No, but...
You can tell that to a record company.
I'm talking about universal themes.
Everyone's not going to go, oh, do you know when you pull into a lay-by... And sad people are watching other people have sex in cars. No one's going to, you know, back that song, are they? So I take your point.
There has to be a universal theme. Like, so it's always... A great pop song is a song where you kind of go, oh my God, how had that not been written before?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're like, oh yeah, you know, like even that, you know, whether it's Bruno Mars or Sting or whatever, or anyone, you go, oh yeah, that's, yeah, I felt that.
But it can annoy you though, because it seems like it should have been written before, like,
yeah,
it's a bit like I came up with the idea of Shazam. Do you know Shazam?
What, the 90s movie where Shaquille O'Neal plays a genie?
No. But I want to go back to that. No, okay. Shazam, the app. Where
I think might have been Kazam.
Oh, Kazam. No, Shazam, I came up with the idea of Shazam. Like, at least
you didn't come up with the idea for it. You thought that would be cool.
No, I came up with the idea at least 5 years before it
came out. I remember being a kid.
I was like, that would be great. And I was like, I knew how it would work.
How does Shazam work, Tim?
Well, you have a database of songs,
mm-hmm.
and you have an algorithm that identifies songs very, very quickly, and you just record it, bam, bam, spum, tip-a-da-bub, and then it goes, oh, this is the song, it's linked to iTunes, buff. What a business. It's just I didn't have the tech heads on board.
No, what you mean
Or the startup capital.
What you mean is that you're not smart enough to do it. You sat in a pub and you heard a song and went, I wish there was a thing that I could do that would tell me what that song was. Which is a thought that everyone has had. See, that's maybe a universal theme. What's that song?
Right.
There must be some more universal topics that maybe we can try and write a song.
Right.
That has everyone's felt it.
Right.
That haven't been written. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You see, this is the hard part.
This is the bit.
This is the hard part. You know, we're at the coal face of creativity right now. We're just trying to come up with something.
This is how most co-writing sessions that I've been in have gone. Yeah,
really, they're just kind of go, oh, yeah, what about...
It's a great idea. My old managers called me up once and went, hey, we've sent you a song. Check your email.
Right.
And then we were wondering if you'd fancy singing it. And I went, I don't want to do that, like sing songs I didn't write. And they went, wait till you hear it. Right. And honestly, the song just went, she liked driving in a fast car. She liked driving in a fast car. Which actually, it sounds quite good.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as that.
Maybe it's way ahead of its time.
But it was like, it was basically saying that my girlfriend's like a fast car.
Right.
It was a bit weird. It was like, she got curves like a limo.
Oh, right, okay.
She got a body like Mercedes Benz, baby.
Okay.
And then they went, how'd you feel about singing that? And I went, that sounds like the worst thing that's ever happened to my ears.
And then they dropped
me from their roster.
And that song, as we all know, went very far.
Went on to be a big hit.
Went very far.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Okay, so here's something. Okay, universal theme, right? Here's one. Relationships. Everyone likes relationships.
Yeah.
Right? How about this? How about, I'm not sure if I still love you.
Right? That's got to be... Worth a crack? There's
no song.
But yeah, it's got to... Go on then.
You know what though? With the magic of the guitar...
Go on.
And the magic of our brains...
Mm-hmm.
When we started going out 2 years ago... you were really funny and cool... But it's been 2 years, mm-hmm. and now your stuff's all in my house, and you've run out of amusing anecdotes of things that you've done in the past that are funny, and then you go, "Hey, did I ever tell you about the time that I did this?" And I went, "Yeah, you've told me about that. Yeah, you got drunk and fell asleep in a KFC toilet. It was funny, but this is the third time you've told me."
Right.
How about we have some sex tonight?
Mm.
I go, "Well, to be honest with you, we know each other's moves."
Right.
We know each other's moves.
We have run out of stories, run out of mystery. It's all very predictable.
We're having perfunctory sex now. And when it's over, I wonder how much longer till I can just go to sleep.
We're staring down the barrel of life.
But the truth is, I'm terrified of being alone.
And I look at you as a reassuring flotation device in life.
Let's be honest, if we could push a button and we'd never know each other and we'd never even met, but we'd avoid all of the pain of a breakup. We'd both fight to push that fucking button first.
In a fucking shot.
'Cause I'm not sure if I love you anymore. I'm not sure if I love you anymore. Sounds a bit like Billy Bragg.
Yeah.
It's a Billy Bragg song and I don't know if I love you, but the government's here to tear us down.
Right.
All the tabloids, baby, are reading their lies. Broadsheets are owned by Murdoch and that.
Right.
No, I don't know if I even love you anymore.
Well, hello.
My name is Billy Bragg.
Billy Bragg, yeah.
Hole in the market.
Hole in the market for just, you know, more nuanced songs about miserable shit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I haven't said hello yet.
Oh, hello.
Hello there, and welcome to the Excitable Boy podcast for Wednesday the... How many days are there in February? 28 or 29? I don't know. I don't know how many days there are. Hang on. Calendar. Hello there, and welcome to the Excitable Boy podcast for Wednesday the 1st of March.
March.
In the year 2000... 2017!
Time marches on. Man has a march hare.
Yeah.
The March Larch.
Yes. What's that?
It's a bird.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Excitable Boy podcast. How are you guys? How was your week? Oscars.
Yep. Let's get that out of the way.
What happened this week?
Yeah, because we all know.
Oscars.
Yeah.
A film won and then another film won.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
It's fine.
It's a bit reductive.
So firstly, that film won.
Yeah.
And then it didn't win.
But it really won, come on.
It didn't win, did it? It didn't.
Well, no, it didn't. But like, they can't be really upset because everyone's a winner. As soon as you get nominated and you get a few Oscars, it's all a bit
Yeah,
fine.
But you're still not the winner. Well, like, 95% of people that went lost.
Yeah, but like, But David Chazelle won Best Director. For La La Land, and then who directed Moonlight?
Foster McCarthy.
No.
Yeah, no, it was Giles anyway. Pentance.
No,
Giles Patterson.
No. But anyway, the director.
Do you know what's interesting
guy,
about
really
the guy
young.
Who directed it? Is it's a name I've been saying as a fake name all my life, Barry Jenkins.
Oh, it's Barry Jenkins. That's right. Yeah.
His name we say Barry on this show every week.
A lot of the time, yeah.
And I always say Barry. I've said Barry Jenkins since because it just sounds like a fake name.
Barry Jenkins.
And it sounds like it sounds like someone who should have a grease stain on his vest.
Yeah.
And he's actually a very suave, beautiful man.
Yeah, no, he is a suave, beautiful man. It sounds like an aggressive kind of alcoholic, you know.
I just think Barry Jenkins is the guy that sits outside the pub. At 11 a.m. with a pint.
Yeah, with a stout.
And he's this very gorgeous man.
He drinks slowly.
Yeah. He's got horn-rimmed glasses and wears nice suits.
Yeah.
He's reinvented the word Barry.
He is.
He's reappropriated
He's given it.
I mean, how many... What, Barry Chuckle?
Yeah.
Barrymore? Michael Barrymore?
Michael Barrymore?
Drew Barrymore? That's not her first name, though.
No.
Who else? There aren't many famous Barrys.
Gareth Barry?
Yeah, Gary Barflow.
Good for him, Barry Jenkins.
But okay, here's my question: is why is every award ceremony in February?
Right.
Why is that?
Because
why? So this month, Brits, Oscars, BAFTAs, Golden Globes, Grammys, and then
Grammys.
Grammys.
All right.
Independent. Do Grammys? You know.
The music ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it all in February? Why don't they spread it out so we can have like one every other month? And you know, like when it's your birthday and you celebrate 5 days afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Elongate your birthday.
Yeah.
Why don't they do that?
I think they just want to get it done in a flurry, and they do it in like as a climax. Yeah. Now we're going towards the Transformers summer. You know what I mean? We're going back to Shia LaBeouf.
Now it's back to the Hollywood blockbusters.
Oh yeah.
Away from it. Okay, no offense to the Oscars, right? But the films are too serious. It's just like, oh, and here's this one, and then everyone's struggling, and then they're not allowed in there.
But that's more life.
And then they're.
Hang on. What do you mean they're not allowed?
They're not allowed in there.
That's
every serious every race film ever is just they're not allowed in there.
And the nominee for Best Picture.
Yeah.
They're not allowed.
I just know
in there.
That's the race film. Like when it's 12
Starring
Years a Slave.
Casey Affleck.
Or is it The Hurt Locker?
Yeah.
Or Moonlight. I just know it's, hey, they're not allowed in there.
Right.
But then someone.
Gets in there.
Paul Giamatti's going to come along and sort it out.
And open the thing to
get
in there.
Don't go in there.
And once they're in there, then.
It's not okay.
Go up.
What are the other? La La Land is about how much white people love jazz. I get it. Comedy doesn't seem to be recognised as art when it comes
to... So what would be your film? A film about bonobo monkeys.
What would be my comedy?
Bonobo monkeys just fucking each other for 3 hours.
Yeah, with...
To Benny Hill music.
Yeah.
Your film. What would be your film?
I don't know. If I wanted an Oscar.
No. If you're going to redefine how Oscars are won with a light-hearted comedic romp.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'd probably try and write a nice rom-com.
Right.
two people who meet on an app.
All right, okay.
Right?
Right.
And then, but they know each other in real life. I know, that's just You've Got Mail, right, isn't it? what happened this week? I had to square up to a guy in the pub the other night.
What?
Have I told you about this?
No.
I was in a pub the other night, and I had to, like, bang my fist on a table and have a go at a guy.
What?
It's like the first time I've ever done it in my life. First time I've ever had to square up to someone. Like a Western, like a standoff.
Right.
You know? When everyone in the bar stops, looks around.
I just get the sense you're embellishing right now. Everyone stopped and looked.
Yeah, and right, the guy playing the upright piano stopped. Yeah, yeah. Everyone playing their cards stopped and looked over their cards.
Yeah.
The guy who had his fist in the glass cleaning it.
Yeah.
He stopped.
Someone spat in a spittoon.
The music went doo ba doo ba doo doo ba
doo.
Yeah. I was in the pub.
So what happened? What happened?
I was in the pub.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy there who was quite aggressive.
Right. What was he doing?
He was... Well, one of my friends got up to go to the toilet, and he was at the table next to us, and there was like a bunch of cushions that were on in between him and us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the cushions fell onto his lap. My friend apologised, and the guy just aggressively like pushed the pillows back. Didn't make eye contact. Just pushed the pillows back onto my friend. And right, I was like, okay, that guy's got some issues.
Yeah. He just doesn't like pillows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he said to the barmaid, how'd you spell guffaw? And she went, and the barmaid went, G-U-F-F-A-W. And he went, well, yeah, that means like a faff, doesn't it? When you can't be bothered to do something, it's a guffaw. And the barmaid went, no, I think it means when something's a laugh. It's a type of laugh.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I'm pretty sure it means like I can't be bothered.
Right.
And meanwhile, he's got his laptop open as well.
What did he ask?
Well, it's 10 p.m. at night and he's like doing work on his laptop.
Yeah.
So he's in the pub. There's just something going on there. And I was like, well, why is he working in the pub at 10 p.m? Maybe he's locked out his house.
Right.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm like, also, he's got two access points to the internet. He can genuinely just look up guffaw and find the answer. And he starts sort of, not arguing with the barmaid, but like questioning her, right? Being like, no, I'm pretty sure guffaw means this, right? It means when you can't be bothered. And she just kind of goes, okay, or maybe it means that too. Just doesn't want to go.
Right, yeah, yeah.
She just doesn't want to have to say you're wrong.
Yeah.
Because she wants his money for beer,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then my friend goes outside on the phone, and on the phone to his girlfriend, and I gesture, and after a while I go, hey, where's he gone? And then my other friends go, oh, he's on the phone to his girlfriend. And I point to the door where my mate is, and I say, hostage situation, right? Because he's gone outside to talk to his girlfriend on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, of course.
And as I pointed at the door, I was pointing at the guy,
yeah,
the angry guy, and then he just goes, you pointed at me, you fucking cunt.
And then everything stopped.
Should I have given a warning there that I was about to say the C word?
No. Go on.
But he really landed on the T.
Right.
Of cunt.
Right.
You look at me, you cunt. And I went...
You're sat down
basically,
by
a cushion. Basically, no. I went into like an act.
Mm-hmm.
Like the inside of my head went, I want to go home.
So you overcompensated how?
I panicked. I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
My gut instinct was run away.
By the door, right?
So yeah.
You didn't have a route.
And I had two friends next to me who were men.
Mm-hmm.
So he was outnumbered.
Yeah.
Right?
You didn't piss yourself.
He was outnumbered 3-1.
You didn't piss yourself.
3-1 with a 4 outside.
Answer the question. You didn't piss yourself.
No, I didn't wet myself.
You didn't shit yourself.
No.
Do you know why
my heart immediately went...
Right.
I could just feel my heart in my throat. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to get in a fight.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get in a fight. I don't know how to fight.
No, that's fair.
Do you keep your thumb in the fist or out the fist? What is it? When you go in a fight, what is it? In or out?
Are you really
Insies
asking?
Or outsies?
Are you really asking?
Yeah.
Outsies.
Because otherwise, if it's in,
you break your thumb. Yeah.
So outsies.
I feel this is very self-explanatory. If you just make a fist and look at it, just imagine it.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I haven't thrown a punch since I was 12 years old.
Right.
Now
is it a mirror?
I won. And I won.
And you won.
And this guy goes, you pointed at me, you fucking cunt.
Mm.
And I just went, I froze, paused, and I looked at him, and then I did like this head tilt, like I was in a Western.
Right.
This was all just like, I was just, it was all autopilot.
Mm.
right? It all feels like a blur. It all happened so quickly.
Sexy.
I tilted my head and I went,
bit sexy.
I went, I'm talking about my friend who's outside. That's why I pointed in your direction.
Oh, wow.
I'm not pointing at you.
Wow, you held his gaze.
Right? Held his gaze.
Right.
And then I went, and don't you call me a cunt.
Oh, hello.
Eye contact. And he looked back at me and I could feel all my friends went, oh, God. Right? Even though, and that was the other thing as well, is I felt like they really didn't want to get in a fight.
Mm.
As well, they were like, well, if he swings at Josh, we're just staying out of this. Right?
Yeah.
And he stared back at me. Basically, 10% of me, and that's a lie, 4% of me was like, wow, you're really doing this. Well done, you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other 96% in the back of my head went, I want to go home and have a cup of Horlicks.
Right.
I want to go home and get in my bed and call mum.
Yeah.
I want to go home and get under the bed.
Yeah.
You know? I want a hot flannel on my belly. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he... And he looked back and he went, all right, I'm sorry, I apologise. And then he packed up his laptop and, like, walked out of the pub.
There we go. You might.
So I was like, because he was bigger than me as well.
Yeah, but you did have friends behind you.
Yeah, but...
Let's not forget.
Lest we forget.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I know, I stood my ground.
You won your balls back.
You're proud of me.
I am proud of you.
Are you really?
A reasonable amount.
How proud?
There is pride now.
Yeah. Because you know what? The old me...
When there wasn't
the old
any.
Me would have backed down.
Right.
Or would have laughed along with him. Gone, ah, it's just my mate. Sorry, I didn't mean anything. Oh, yeah, okay. Can I buy you 4 pints?
Yeah.
You know. And this time, stared him in the face.
Right.
Made my serious face. I couldn't have scared him. I'm not threatening.
Right.
Look a bit like if Morph and Rufio ran at each other very quickly.
Right.
So,
I think it's only a matter of time before I get in a fight.
Statistically, like, that is true.
Like, on the train the other day, I was opening a can of beer... And it spat.
That's illegal.
No. On Novogrand train. I was opening it and it
spat. Well, that's rude.
And the beer spat out. And speckles hit this guy. And maybe his baby. And I'm not entirely sure if it hit his baby's cherubic face. I'm not sure if I spritzed his baby with Heineken. But the way he turned and looked at me was very sharp. And I had to defuse that situation pretty quickly.
Did you just offer the baby a sip?
No, I just went, I'm sorry for doing that. I apologise. I sincerely apologise. And he backed down and went, it's all right. I like beer. And then I left the carriage. And I left the situation.
Hang on a minute. Where was this train going?
It was going out to Kent from London.
And you're on your own?
On my own.
And you're drinking beer alone on the train?
Yeah.
Okay, well let's not go into what that means.
Why, what's wrong with drinking a can of beer on the train?
What can? Was it one of those Polish ones?
No, it was a Kronenbourg.
Okay.
Just standard.
Okay.
What? I can have a beer at 11 in the morning. On a train. Going to Ashford. Don't you start. I've got enough people having a go at me for it.
Was your fiancé there?
No, I was on my own. I told you I was on my own.
What time of night was it?
It was
like... Oh my God, it was the middle of the day, wasn't it? It was the middle of the day. You were in jogging bottoms.
No, it was like 4:30.
He didn't back down. He felt sorry for you.
Probably.
He saw someone in a hoodie with jogging bottoms drinking a can of lager at midday on a Tuesday.
Bleary. I looked bleary.
Yeah, and he went eating hot Sainsbury's chicken out of the bag.
Right.
And he went, oh, God, it's just not worth it. He saw you crunching up Pringles and sprinkling it on the chicken. Yeah. How many beers in were you?
Just a couple.
Oh, God, Tim.
And I just took it. I was like, I'm sorry. And he was like, it's all right. And I was like, I didn't get you, did I? And I cried. I wept. I wept by the toilet.
All right, we're going to take a short break here before we do the letters.
Yeah.
So let's...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
See what there is this week. All right, we're back.
Superb.
We fully endorse whatever product that was. I'm guessing it was either a car or maybe another podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do the letters. Every week you can write into the show. ebp@excitableboypodcast.co.uk. Any problem that you might be having, write in and we will answer those problems for you. We will help solve your problems. It might be a work-related problem like...
Oh, God. You started sleeping at work because you got chucked out of the house by your wife. You brought your duvet pillows over and you made yourself a little den. But then Malcolm the boss comes back for a late night party with some workmates and he busts out some coke. You hide under the desk in your little bed, your little makeshift den, they haven't noticed you yet. And you hear Malcolm starts holding forth on all sorts of things he has no real knowledge about. And then he gets to you and says, I really wanna bang his wife, I wanna bang his wife. And he keeps talking and talking like that, and you get very angry, and suddenly you go, surprise fuckers, and you leap out from your little den under the desk, and you clock Malcolm in the face. You're rolling round the floor. Drugs go everywhere.
You're rolling down the floor.
Rolling round the floor.
Because your sleeping bag is still kind of horribly wrapped round your ankles. It's kind of humiliating, like you've had to run out of a toilet mid-poo.
It's kind of still there, at the bottom of your feet.
And it's the spare bedroom bedding as well, so it's a little bit musky, and it's like it's a bit of an out-of-date design on the duvet, on the sleeping bag, like a Welsh flag, you know? You know when you see an adult and they've got like a flag as their pillowcase?
Yeah.
Like, that's not okay.
And then a brave soul called Paul rips you away from Malcolm and says, leave it, it's not worth it. We're just having a bit of fun.
It's just workbench, mate.
So you clock him in the face as well. He starts to escalate uncontrollably until eventually you get sent home to the house that you got chucked out of. And guess who's there? It's Malcolm. He's banging your wife. The end. Right into the show.
Right into the show. That sounds like a thoroughly horrible situation.
Yeah.
It did remind me of something that you once told me.
Right.
But should we finish the songs first?
Right.
Maybe it's a relationship problem. Like, should we go up a key?
Yeah. You go for a date with a lady called Pauline. It's all going fine. And on about the third day, she tells you that she really likes the film Tron, where they pretend to go into a computer and they solve all sorts of riddles and puzzles. She leaves it just like that. And then the fourth day, you go back to hers and she goes, what if we try and get inside the computer? And you think she's joking, but she actually tries to get inside a computer. She brings in a laptop and goes, get in. Don't know what to do.
She goes, let's augment our reality.
She puts on a VR headset and punches you in the groin.
Why?
I have no idea. Maybe she's traumatized in some unknown way. But write into the show. See if you want to go out with her still.
Well, maybe it's a sexual problem, like...
Your asshole's tight. Tight. There we go. That's
how can it be too tight?
Well, for objects.
Well, see. Oh,
for objects.
Can you still poo? Seek medical help.
No. I mean,
seek medical help now.
But yeah, I mean, for.
If that reminded me of something that you, I thought you might be, maybe were drawing on, a real life experience there, which is that you actually did get fired from a job for sleeping.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I did. But I wasn't... Yeah, I did sleep on the job.
I don't think we've ever talked about this on the show, have we?
I'm not sure.
Can you just tell everyone what happened quickly?
Well, I left university and I was working in as a filing clerk.
Sounds like the start of a shit Prince song.
In a basement.
I left university and I was working as a filing clerk. When Mary walked in.
Good.
Wearing a vanilla dress.
And I was working in the adoption archive, so I was just counting off, like, files and stuff. It was just me down there in this musty basement.
It was just me down there in this musty basement.
And, you know, one thing led to another, and I thought, do you know what? No one's checking on me. I think I'll go to sleep. And they caught me, and they went, what the
hang
fuck?
On a minute. No. So you're working in an adoption agency?
No, I was working for the council.
Okay.
They had an adoption archive of files.
Of all the adoptions that
had
happened.
They're taking place for over the last 50, 60 years. Okay. Like, it was spanning back towards the war.
Okay.
But it was all unkempt and not in order, and I had to check what was there, what wasn't, what was damaged. That was it. But it was just me. And occasionally some other temp.
Hang on a minute. Okay, for the sake of the listeners.
Right.
You slept on top of filing cabinets.
Yeah.
How many filing cabinets were there?
There were loads. It was like, you know Indiana Jones, the end of Indiana Jones?
Yes.
Where they, you know, they...
They pan out and it's the massive warehouse shop.
Yeah. Imagine that, but with me on top of one of the stacks.
Just having a little snooze.
Having a snooze.
Okay, next question.
Da-da-da-da, sleeping on the job.
Okay, let me. Next question is, how did you get comfortable atop those filing cabinets, Timothy Dewberry?
Well, you kind of do a thing with your coat, then you probably get a scarf, bundle it up, make a makeshift pillow. Then you fold your arms into your hoodie, whack your hoodie over your head to provide extra insulation, and off you go to Snoozy Town.
Okay, and how many times did
you... Off you go to Snoozy Town in your big balloon.
And how... And how many times did you do this?
Many a time.
How many? Did you lose count?
I'm going to be honest with you, oft.
How long were you working there?
About 2 months.
Oh my God.
2 months. Okay. They caught me and I begged for my job back. We're
not at the end of the story yet. First question is, what hours in the day did you sleep?
So usually I'll get in, do an hour, probably start sleeping at 10 in the morning because I'd be hungover. I was like 21 and then I'd sleep for a couple of hours. Have lunch for an hour and a half. Seriously. And no one was checking on me until they obviously
did. I mean, this is adoption files. They're not going anywhere, are they?
No, they're not. They're not. And but it was like a very, you know, it's one of those things where it was like a minimum wage job and no one gave a shit. And it was also that one of those times
You know what though, Tim? That's not a reason to not try.
No, that's true. I agree. Okay? I agree.
There are plenty of people who would love a minimum wage job in this country and right. You have one and you're abusing it.
No, I had to take two buses to this job. And it was. I basically spent all my money traveling to it and on my lunch. And I really didn't have any more money after those expenses were paid. And then, so I thought, do you know what? I'm going to be 18 till I die. I'm going to have a snooze. Oh, got caught. You're fired.
Okay, next question is, how did you get caught?
I was asleep on top of the cabinets.
Yeah. But, I mean, that if you were getting away with it, how come one day you got rumbled?
Well, my boss walked in and she went, Tim, can I have a word? And that was really much it.
What, she walked in on you asleep?
Yeah.
So she woke you up?
So basically, but I roused as she walked in. And I knew I wasn't long for that job.
And what did she say?
You leave me no choice.
You went, am I fired?
No, she said, you've got to let you go. She did it in a nice way. Like, no one ever says you're fired. They just say, we've got to let you go. Like, they're holding you back and they're letting you go to a better future. Mm. Which in this case, it was true.
You were literally sleeping on the job.
Yeah.
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 Snoozing.
Mm-hmm.
Catching some Z's
yeah.
on the taxpayers' money. Right. I just want the listeners to know
that's true. Actually,
on the taxpayers' hard-earned buck.
Right, I didn't think about that.
You were taking their money,
their council tax,
their money,
right,
and catching 40 winks.
You know, I don't regret a thing.
And you know what?
I just want for the record.
Yeah, but look, one of life's great success stories, guys, is if you do go to a job where you fall asleep, you can still end up having your own middling podcast.
Yeah,
isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. I have been told by our legal department to say that we are not trained advice givers, and any advice that we do give should be taken in jest. I think I could do one of those adverts. Listen to this. Although I have been told by our legal department to say that we are not trained advice givers, and any advice that we do give should be taken in jest.
That's not bad. And they usually speed that up as well.
Yeah.
In post. You get quicker.
Yeah, look, I can read out this first one in that style.
Right.
Dear EBP, what advice would you give to someone who has never been abroad? I'm finally taking a holiday this year and I wanted to be somewhere amazing. On a side note, I've never been on a plane, but thanks to you, I'm already scared of flying. Do you have any tips?
Right.
See?
I like it. And I got the information.
There you go.
I got the information.
Should I say it slower?
Yeah, go on.
What advice would you give someone who has never been abroad? I'm finally taking a holiday this year, and I want it to be somewhere amazing. On a side note, I've never been on a plane, but thanks to you, I'm already scared of flying. Any tips?
Right.
Well, there's two questions.
What?
What advice would you give someone who's never been abroad? Hold on to your wallet.
Right.
And don't eat in the town square.
Mm.
It's It's good advice, right?
Don't, why not? Why?
You know, like, you hold onto your wallet.
Because you get ripped off in the town
square. No, because tourists, it's people who've never, they're always the ones who get their wallets nicked. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was just walking through the train station, looking at a map. Someone asked me to sign a petition, and then my wallet was gone.
Right.
So you've got to learn the methods.
Yeah.
Right? Hold onto your wallet, don't eat in the town square.
Why not the town square?
Because that's going to be where it's, you know, Stringfellows is. Do you know what I mean? Well, even if it's like rustic Italy, the town squares, that's where they're hoping the tourists go.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like
everyone aims for the bullseye, you know,
when they go on holiday. Yeah, yeah. I think that's good advice.
Yeah, let's just get to the middle and we'll eat there.
Yeah, wear shorts and sandals.
Mm-hmm.
That always goes well.
Yeah.
Argue
loudly in public about the direction in which you are heading.
And walk along thoroughfares and stop suddenly to look at shit. Love it.
Advice for flying, I'd say put your phone in a waterproof bag.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And take a Valium. Listen, my fear of flying shouldn't disrupt you enjoying the miracle of being in the air. Because statistically, it's absolutely fine. You might love flying.
What I do is, when you're on the runway, just before they hit the thrusters, just say very quietly to yourself, I'm not in control, I know I'm going to die. And as the thrusters kick in and you start barreling along the runway, you'll either be suffused with peace or terror. So anyway, to recap, you're barreling down the runway, just know that you're doomed. Either then or in the future. And once you know that, once you give up trying to survive, you can then enjoy your life.
Next letter. Dear EBP, my half-brother just started a Kickstarter to help fund his travelling around. Lots of travelling. Are people going on holiday this time of year?
No, I know, but like what he's saying is...
Dear EBP, my half-brother just started a Kickstarter to help fund his travelling around the world. He's phrased it as a trip to broaden his experiences and his mind. Yeah. But really, it's a fucking holiday.
Yeah.
He keeps asking me when I'm going to donate money. And my answer is, as soon as I get paid. Even though the real answer is, go fuck yourself and pay for your own holiday. What are your thoughts? Should I tell him he's ridiculous?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've just started a Kickstarter campaign to go for a meal on Saturday. Hopefully I'll hit my target. I mean, that's fucking bullshit. I mean, what?
Kickstarter's odd. It is weird.
No, you have to sell the idea, like... If you're creating a piece of art, or if it's like a creative endeavor, it's slightly different, or if it's for charity or whatever it is. But if it's just, no, I just fancy a holiday.
It's weird, isn't it?
Fancy on holiday.
Yeah.
Tell him to go fuck himself. Or just donate a penny. Just donate something sarcastic and then see how he reacts.
We've got two left. We've got two more.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Dear EBP, for our first birthday together, my girlfriend bought me a blender and then brackets NutriBullet, which is a type of blender.
A NutriBullet?
A NutriBullet.
Right.
What's that?
I don't know.
Okay. For our first birthday together, my girlfriend bought me a type of NutriBullet and a collection of frying pans. I might be reading into this a bit too much or being overly sensitive, but don't those gifts seem to be a little thoughtless and basic? I was expecting something a little more romantic. Oh, that's nice. No, it just sounds like she was running through Asda and panic bought you something. That's what it sounds like.
Well, she got you practical things.
A blender
things.
And some frying pans. Well, what that means is the blender means get into shape.
Right.
Right? And the frying pans means cook me some dinner.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe they're very thoughtful gifts. Maybe you don't eat enough fresh fruit.
No one likes getting an appliance for their birthday, though, do they?
I love getting... I'd take an appliance. I saw someone with a...
something practical. You shouldn't have.
The other day...
No one...
Those are great gifts. I think as you get older, it's like, you know what?
You give up.
No, but I think it's, you know what? I don't need to go to Paris, but that George Foreman grill is going to get used every week.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I want to grill my tuna steaks. You know, not a euphemism. I want to grill my tuna steaks.
Mm.
We don't need a long weekend. Come on, I get it. We'll go, we'll drive... The drive will get awkward. We'll listen to music that you don't like.
Mm.
We'll get there. The place will be cold. The Wi-Fi won't work.
And the conversation will be like, what's the matter? Nothing. What's the matter? Nothing. And in 2 hours, it will be something that just didn't surface at the time.
Yeah.
That's, you held on
you
to
don't
it.
Need that.
You held on to the resentment for 2 hours. Exactly. You had to dig for the reason.
Yeah.
Why are you? What? You seem grumpy. No, we'll talk about it
you
later.
You don't need that.
We'll talk about it later. We're on a train. We're on a train. Yeah?
I don't want to talk about this right now. See? Don't do that. That's romance. That's modern romance. You know what? I will take the clear nasal passages that are afforded to me by the gift of a dehumidifier.
Right.
Nothing says I love you like appliances, I think. Who doesn't need a hairdryer? Well, you don't.
I don't.
But, like, yeah, you know, thanks, I'd like a hairdryer as a gift.
Mm.
That's a good gift. Are you going to use it every day?
I mean, one
of the best gifts I ever got was a Wi-Fi booster. So I plug it in between the router and my bedroom.
Holy shit.
It was one of the best gifts I ever got. I use it every day. No, it wasn't one of the best gifts. It was. Now my internet's even faster.
Brilliant. Yeah, okay. Well, you've convinced me.
Yeah. And you know what's better than that? Money. That's the ultimate gift.
Cash.
Just cash. Free money.
Yeah, cash.
Why is it bad?
And a blowjob.
What? I'd take the money if I had to pick. Yeah,
no.
I think money's the ultimate birthday gift, personally.
And Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah, or sea monkeys. No, to answer your letter, okay, yeah, it's slightly unromantic, but you know, it's free stuff just because you didn't die, so get over it.
Yeah,
there's no expectation on birthday.
I mean, what did he want? What did he want? What kind of thing?
I don't know, like a weekend in Paris.
He wanted some razzle dazzle.
Yeah.
You want to go out and have a meal? Or go, oh, where are we going? Blindfolded, where are we going? No, you wait, you're going to love it. And then you take it off, and then, you know, it's a blender.
Okay, I find that odd that people expect gifts for anything that they didn't really accomplish. Do you know what I mean? For example, if you ran a marathon, I'd be like, that's a good time where people go, well done, you trained, you accomplished something.
Mm.
Here's a gift for doing it. You've earned this. But just because it's your birthday.
That's why I didn't get you anything.
No, I didn't get you anything. Oh, no, yeah. I did get you something, didn't I?
You got me tickets.
Tickets to what?
Bush.
Oh, yeah. I got you tickets to see your favourite band, Bush.
They're not my favourite band.
Yeah, they are your favourite band.
No, I grew
Admit
up with
it,
them.
They're your favourite band them. Of all time.
But I saw.
You said to me that Bush were more important than Nirvana.
I saw Gavin Rossdale.
And then I said, what, personally for you? Like, how you were attached to them emotionally? And you went, no, what they did for music was more important than Nirvana. And it was criminal how they were never revered in that light. You said that to me. That's verbatim.
Yeah, that is. You're right. That's.
I'm quoting you directly.
Yeah, you are.
Last question. Dear EBP, I'm a man who has always wanted to... This can't be real. Dear EBP, I'm a man who's always wanted to get his navel pierced. Should I do it? I have no idea why I'm asking you to.
Right. Why does he want to get his navel pierced?
Because he thinks it's cool.
Get it done.
Do it. Do what you want, mate. It's your body. You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
Pierce that belly button.
But it's quite against the grain, isn't it? Like, you don't often see...
You don't see a man...
Actually, no, you do.
You double take a man with a pierced belly button.
But if that man's gone all in on other things, you could probably... You know, it's safety in numbers, isn't it? So if you kind of got your ears pierced, your eyebrows pierced, your tongue pierced, then your navel pierced, everyone's like, oh, he's covered in metal. But if it was just your navel and, you know, nothing else...
I think we need to bring back the belly button. That's what the navel is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to bring back the belly button piercing, I think. Because it was a proper, like... I remember when I was a kid, all my older sister's friends were getting their belly buttons pierced.
Yeah, it was a big thing.
And it was like...
It was all kicking off in the 90s.
Yeah, you had to get it done.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a rebellion, a little bit of rebellion.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to get a tattoo of a clef, a treble clef. Or...
I've actually got that.
Have you?
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, that's it for the show. Do it. Get the piercing. If it's going to make you happy, do it.
Yeah.
And also, it's a great place for a piercing because no one's going to see it.
Yeah.
You know, unless you like, you know, you show off your midriff.
Crop top.
Yeah. Unless you're doing that, which if that's what you want to do, do it. Do what makes you happy.
I say so.
If it's not
that.
At the expense of other people's happiness, you should be able to do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
I think that's a good message to leave your life by. I think that's a good message to lead your life by and a great way to end the show.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. Take care of yourselves. Bye. This has been the Excitable Boy Podcast. I'm Josh.
And I'm disappointed.
And we'll see you next week. Here comes the theme tune.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.